in the computer? The answer is that there's correction fluid on the screen. Now, you heard that about blondes, but I wanted to spare the blondes so I can tell it on the preacher. Now, I think even as a preacher that I will not be putting correction fluid on the screen of a computer. Folks, I am very, very thankful to have this little bottle of correction fluid that I can keep on my desk. Because when I type, I usually make mistakes. And I'm extremely thankful that I can reach and take this bottle and open it and take a little fluid out of it and cover over that mistake to where it looks almost as if it didn't happen. And then can back the typewriter up and type in the correct character and make it look so much better. And I'm sure that any of you who type, or maybe even in other ways, make mistakes, share with me an appreciation for correction fluid. And now even an improvement that's made on that of the correction ribbon that's on many of the typewriters. This morning I want to talk with you for a moment about God's correction fluid. The result is the same in that everything that is a mistake becomes white when the correction fluid is applied. And yet there is a difference in that this correction fluid is white in the bottle and God's correction fluid is red in the blood of Jesus Christ. The soldier pierced his side and forthwith came there blood and water. John 19:34. This is the blood of the New Testament which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Matthew 26:28. Take heed to yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts 20:28. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we are saved from wrath through him. Romans 5:8-9. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. Ye who are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:13. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to the living God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 9:14. And verse 22 of that chapter says, without the shedding of blood there is no remission. The latter part of Revelation 7:14 talks about those who washed their robes and made them white in the blood of Christ. God's correction fluid is the blood of Jesus Christ. All of those passages that we've just read from God's Word emphasize that correction fluid and the power that is in the blood of Christ. And yet I would imagine that if we took a poll, that there are more of us who know yet another verse that talks about the blood of Christ, maybe better than any of these others. Found in 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Yes, I'm thankful for the correction fluid that's in this little bottle because it is next to impossible for me to type a page without having a mistake. The very fact that I have something like this and know that it's there and know that I can use it makes it much easier for me to approach a page at the typewriter than it would be otherwise. The correction fluid is available. And that is so insignificant, really, when compared with the correction fluid of God. You see, there's not a one of us Who can type a page of Christian living without making a mistake? I care not how good a typist is. It's unusual for a page to be typed without at least one mistake. And I care not how good you and I are in living right and doing our very best, we still make mistakes. And I'll tell you, if it were not for the fact that I know that God's correction fluid is there, and that when I make a mistake today, I can turn to God and I can take that correction fluid of His and I can apply it to my sin and be made white as snow in the sight of God. What hope, what assurance is present in that attitude and that idea. To emphasize that idea, to seal it into our minds and really help us appreciate this concept, let's simply analyze 1 John 1:7 this morning. Noticing seven things that are mentioned in the verse, really going backwards in the verse, beginning at the last. Notice the last two words, all sin. That's the subject, that's the problem that's before us. You know, there's really only one problem in the church. There's only one problem in the world today, and that's the sin problem. Everything else can be categorized under it. When God was planning man's salvation, even back before the world began, He knew of the sin problem before sin had even come upon the scene. Christ came to this earth, left heaven, was sent by the Heavenly Father because of sin. He died on the cross. He shed His blood because of sin. He purchased the church that it might be a reality. He gave us the availability of salvation because of sin. There's where the problem is. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, 1 John 1:10. Two verses earlier, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, 1 John 1:8. Sin and iniquity separates between man and God, Isaiah 59:1-2. Sin is the problem. Whatever it is that we're talking about here, we're talking about the subject of sin. Something has to be done about sin. Because you see, as indicated in passages like Revelation 21:27, sin cannot go through the pearly gates into heaven. Now, I don't think it takes a smart person to put two and two together and get four. If all sin and sin can't go to heaven, something's got to be done about the sin problem. If there is a mistake that is made and that paper will not be accepted until the mistake is corrected, and you and I do not have an eraser that is strong enough to erase it and put it back just like it was to begin with, we've got to have some kind of correction fluid, something that will take care of sin. The subject before us is sin. Notice the action that is contemplated, expressed in that word, cleanseth, as I read it from this particular version, which is a form of the word clean. Sin is darkness. Sin is dirtiness. And now something has to be done about that in order to make it clean, to make it appear white once again. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So we immediately know that there's a possibility of doing this. There is something that can be done to make this situation clean and to correct it. That's the cleansing idea that's involved. Now why tarriest thou? Arise and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. Be baptized and wash away thy sins and call on the name of the Lord, cleaning one from sin. Ananias gave Saul that commandment. In Ephesians 5:26-27, as the church is being discussed, it says that Christ is the one that wants it to be clean, and He takes care of it through the washing of water by the word, which is another way of talking about this correction fluid that we're discussing this morning. It's rather interesting that this word here in this passage seems to indicate something that's not just point action, but action that continues. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. I think it is not unlike a dialysis machine. A few days ago, I visited with Roger Whitten in the hospital in Nashville. Roger has a disease that is called rheumatoid vasculitis. One of the things associated with that disease is that the blood contains more of the rheumatoid factor than it should. In his case, it was extremely high. They hooked him up to a dialysis machine and ran his blood through that to try to filter out that rheumatoid factor that was in his blood. Most of us have had family or friends who had problems in the area of kidneys and had to be hooked up to a dialysis machine. I know one woman in Tullahoma that's been going regularly every week so many times for years and years, and she's hooked up to that machine, and it runs the blood through, and it cleans out the problem that's in it. I think that's sort of the cleansing idea that's involved with the blood of Christ. And not only does he clean us and forgive us of all our past sins when we're baptized into him, but there is that continued action. We might very well think of it in the sense that we are hooked up to that spiritual dialysis machine, and as long as we stay hooked up to it, we have this correction fluid that is running through our spiritual bodies and taking care of our sins. The subject is sin. That's the problem. The action that is contemplated is the cleansing of that sin, and the agent that does that is what we've been discussing throughout the entire lesson, mentioned here as the blood of Jesus Christ. And there is no other correction fluid. The blood of bulls and goats and heifers could not do it. The blood that is within my body cannot cleanse my own sins. You see, we're not talking about the putting away of the filth of the flesh. We're talking about spiritual matters. If I were willing to give every drop of blood that I have and shed it, I could not take care of your sins, and vice versa. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could be that agent that would have the power in it, as we've seen, the power in the blood, the power in it to cleanse us and to keep on cleansing us of all our sins and to be the correction fluid that will take care of all our mistakes. Oh, that's a great thought. To know that we have the power that is in the blood to take care of our sins, not only ours, but all those people that have lived before us, even under previous laws, and all those that shall live after us, if God permits this earth to continue. Those back under the old law did not have the literal forgiveness of sins. Only when Christ died did his blood go back and take care of their sins as it comes forward to take care of ours. Oh, I'm well aware that there are times in the Old Testament where it talks about the forgiveness of the sins of those people as if it had already happened. But I submit to you that that's used in the same way that the children of Israel were told before they crossed the Jordan River that they had the land of Canaan. Go possess the land, God says, that I have given you. In other words, his promise was so great and so trustworthy that they could talk in terms of reality even before it took place. And those under the old law could talk in terms of the reality of forgiveness, though they literally were just remembering their sins a year at a time, or as we sometimes put it into our language, rolling their sins forward a year at a time. Because they were just as dependent upon this agent, the cleansing power, as you and I are. The fourth point that I want you to see in this verse has to do with the great blessing, and we've already indicated this and touched on it a bit. But notice that the blessing is involved in that word fellowship. We have fellowship one with another, and if you're reading along with us, glance back to about verse 3 and 4, and you'll see that we also have fellowship with God and with his Son. That is a very short way of saying that we are in the body. Even physically speaking, life is in the blood, the Bible says, and we know that to be true. If you were to cut off my hand and it's out there away from my body, it would literally die because it's not attached to the blood supply. And what he's saying here is, if this correction fluid of God is going to work, we have to be attached to the body. We have to be in fellowship, one with another and with God and with Christ. One who is not attached to the body, one who is not in Christ, who is not in that fellowship, is not going to have the benefit of the correction fluid. And then you'll notice that he talks about a standard of conduct that's involved in this attachment in fellowship. He says, whatever we're doing it in the light. You may immediately remember that Jesus Christ is called the light of the world, the light that came into this world, John 1, for example. And you may also let your mind wander back to Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. You see, what he's saying is that in order to have this benefit and this blessing of the cleansing of all our sins that comes by the power that's in the correction foot of God, we must be in the light, in Christ, and letting this be the standard of our conduct. And then he says that there is a manner of conduct. Notice the word walk. Walk in the light. Not only be in the light, but walk in the light. This word walk is used in the Bible in many ways. The idea is suggested in Galatians 2:20. I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. The life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. The life that I'm walking in the flesh, I'm walking in the light, is really what he's talking about there. Romans 8:1 says we are to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, so that there will be no condemnation, so that our mistakes may be covered with the correction fluid, the blood of Jesus Christ. We walk by faith and not by sight. You see, it's this manner of conduct that he's talking about, where we walk the manner of conduct by the standard of conduct in the light. We have the blessing fellowship because the agent, the blood of Jesus Christ, puts forth the action, the cleansing, to take care of the problem, the sin. And yet, with all that's been said, it may very well be that we've not touched the most important verse, or the most important word in the verse yet. And I realize it's a little bit difficult to say that there's a more important word in the verse than the word blood, which is the correction fluid that we're talking about. But folks, the key word in this verse that puts it all together and makes this correction fluid have its meaning is that little two-letter word, if. Because you see, the application of God's correction fluid is conditional. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have the benefit of this corrective power of the blood of Jesus Christ. If. It is conditional. There's not a person in this audience this morning who would disagree with me when I say that if you have a problem with your blood that can be solved by being hooked up to a dialysis machine, that you cannot receive the benefit until you're hooked up. We see that. We understand that. And yet it makes just as much sense for me to think that if I had a problem that could be cleansed by being hooked up to a dialysis machine, that I can stand over on this side of the room and the machine over yonder and not be hooked up, as it is to believe that the corrective fluid of God will cleanse my sins when I'm not even hooked up. When I'm not even involved with Jesus Christ and his body. I believe, my friend, if you had a problem with your blood, and I could say to you this morning that I can show you a machine, and you can be hooked up to it, and it can save your life, I don't believe I'd have to beg you. And you might say, well, what about the money? And I said, it's free to you. All the money has been given and donated so that you can be hooked up free. And yet, we beg and beg some of you day in and day out to be hooked up to the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything has been paid. You can have it. You can cleanse the impurities in your spiritual life in Jesus Christ. And some of you just sit there. Now explain that to me. I don't understand it. If we were talking about the physical body and I made an announcement this morning, we have the answer. We have the correction fluid. In fact, I don't think I'd even have to try to persuade you to use this if you're tapping. You know the mistake is there. You know you need it. You know it will work, and you'll use it. What must we do to prove to you that the blood of Jesus Christ will work? you've not been baptized into Christ to be raised to walk in newness or whiteness of life, and if you've not returned when you've gone astray and you've been cut off from the blood supply or you're away from it to be made white again and to have your robe white in his blood, if you've not done that, folks, what can we do? It's conditional. God's correction blood is the blood of Jesus Christ. You and I make mistakes. It's time we opened it up in obedience and made proper application. Don't you need to do that while together we stand and sing?